I had every advantage.
Yep, everything.
Everything our biased society favors. Race, gender, high-achieving professional parents, gifted IQ, education, decent looks, heterosexual presentation, back then, mostly. But here's the thing. The very reason red alerts should have been going off across everybody's child protective screens.
Quick pause, my friends. I'm Johnny Profane, and you're tuned into Autistic EF Out Loud. Today, we're diving into the highs and lows of autistic joy in education. Ever wonder how the chalk dust smells or the flickering fluorescent lights feel for an autistic kid in a bustling modern schoolroom? I got a four-part series coming at you on abuse of autistic kids in schools. Emotional, yes, but unfortunately physical too, with a big finish on how to lift our Stop the Shock movement onto its next big victory. So hit that free subscribe button and let's get back to it.
Because with every privilege handed me, I failed to thrive. Big freaking time. Longest job, 2 years. Out of dozens of jobs in 45 years working.
Not what you call a productive citizen, but I do have a knack for telling certain stories.
So I'm here to explore a whole nother continent of the intersectional map, the continent of invisible disabilities. I'm your ambassador from the countries of articulate autism, selective or elective, mutism, gifted kids, PTSD, couple of others. Our citizens of color, our NBs, our intellectually challenged citizens. I can't really tell their stories. But here's my story, because it's the only one I know. And I've heard and read and written and podcasted enough. I've come to believe something deeply. All we autistics share something basic, fundamental. So every one of our stories strikes a universal chord in our community. I got 3 short stories. Put them together. Somehow they tell one big story, like Aristotle's beginning, middle, and end. My beginning? In part one, I want to give you the experience of autistic joy, because that's the bedrock of everything for autistic folks. And I want you to really get, in your gut, what the power of your educational leadership could unleash, if we find a way to fan those flames without setting fire to the classroom. Okay, in the middle, part two, the conflict. A bit about why my personal learning style didn't work for me in the system, and how I hope for better for today's neurodiverse kids. Then, there's part three, the bitter end of my story at least. A day in the real life of my high school. Some good, most bad.
My 7-decade story of abuse may be over, but the hits just keep coming. Restraints, solitary confinement, electric shock. Yeah, it was bad in the dark ages of autism, the 50s, 60s, 70s. But the 21st century has supposed academics and educators pushing and using aversive therapy on autists. So we'll go back to the future in part four with a big finish.
So that's the storyboard. But you've seen Pulp Fiction. You know it's more fun if I tell you out of order. Say, beginning, end, then the middle, making you connect the dots.
Enough. Here we go. So, I'm at the Shalom Center in Bloomington, Indiana. College town, trees, cute shops, parking meters to discourage the riffraff, you know, like me.
I'm in line for a free breakfast, looking down the long queue toward the steam table. Damn, all the instant oatmeal's gone. I mumble out loud. A lot. That shit settles my ulcer. See, I just got off the ancient bus that the Genesis Project works as a shuttle. They used to run a warming shelter for the homeless. We hang out there and sleep on cots in a large tent. 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., March to November.
The rest of the day, we're on the street. I usually hang at the library, internet, but they kick you out if you're caught napping, meditating too. Wow, that was embarrassing.
But right now, the library's about a 6-block walk, breakfast, and a public shower away. The next guy in line looks like he just woke up in the early 70s. Army fatigues, knit dread cap over scraggly gray hair, thin guy. Must have heard me cuss out the oatmeal.
Yeah, depends on donations.
He doesn't look at me directly. Little bird glances. at my face, my hands.
The good stuff comes and goes.
Yeah, sounds like, you know, life. Okay, I was a wannabe class clown, but it did help me survive second grade. The white Rasta warrior peers into my eyes, real fast, then goes hazy a moment, like he's lost inside, then cracks the goofiest grin I'd ever seen on the streets.
You're okay.
He shuffles down the line. I shuffle behind him. You too. I like homeless folks. I never understood social status anyways. Maybe because I'm autistic. Most homeless don't pay any attention either. Bob Dylan wrote about the street. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Homeless know everyone's just a pink slip away from nothing to lose. Me and Rasta end up at the same round lunch table, wobbling awkwardly back in the corner, wrapped in vinyl floors and cement walls, cold like a crypt. I'm Johnny. I reach out my hand. Been on the street a couple of weeks. He disappears inside, comes back with another smile.
My name is Theo. I have been on the streets off and on since grad school.
As I remember, he set off to be a psych researcher, cracked up before his orals. We had a lot in common. We swapped grad school war stories a while. This was way more fun than dodging crabby librarians. So we hung.
We got into what a blast it is just to discover new shit. Any new shit, academic or not, any shit. If it was cool...
You know, I never wanted to teach.
He blurts out, in the middle of my best story. Then he looks away.
Or run a department. Just research. Use my brain. But the weird thing?
A man of few words and many pauses.
I have jobs sometimes. Oh, for a while. But I don't like the ones where I use my brain. I like the repetitive ones. I like factories. Janitor. I can think. I'm in a different place.
And there it was, two homeless. Both crazy, more than likely. Both failures, demonstrably. Certainly neurodivergent. He knew it. I didn't yet.
But here we were, strangers. Talking joy. Openly. Unashamedly. First time in our lives. In a homeless center. It was a strange moment for me. A shock of recognition. But it took 4 years before I permitted it to sink in.
I'm coming back to Theo and the Shalom Center in a bit. But first, you need to hear this flashback if you want to get autistic joy, have a genuine aha moment, and take a moment to think whether you want to smother that autistic spark or fan those flames.
So, screen title, hashtag autistic joy.
What are you doing?
My former mother's voice was sharp. I'm spread-eagled on the backyard grass, face down.
I've called you 3 times.
She's annoyed.
What are you doing?
I don't know it in second grade, but I have difficulties shifting attention when I'm focused. So I try to replay the last few moments, listening to, then interpreting, anything she might have said while I'm in my focus bubble. I'm 7. Rewinding the tape is already automatic for me. A never-ending attempt to comprehend what's going on. Anytime I'm around, well, people...
Checking for my verbal mistakes, missed social cues, guessing if they meant what they said or were just mocking me.
Anyway, I'm still in the grass, sorting it out, choosing words carefully to avoid trouble, clearing my throat, moving my sleeping tongue, loosening my jaw, just about ready to speak.
Hey, what are you doing?
Nothing. Close as I come to lying at that age. I've been in the backyard an hour or so, gloriously alone. See, Johnson City had this great hobby shop, all kinds of cool science toys. And I'd saved up my 50-cent allowance for weeks to buy what the red and yellow package promised. A real handheld glass, magnifying glass, with all metal handle. I was squinting through it, entranced, examining grass leaves, dewdrops, and ants. Dozens of ants. One after another, antennae, mandibles, eyes, guiltily burning off the occasional leg with focused sunlight. Endless fascination. No time, no place, no words. I was in the flow.
Okay, whatever you're doing.
I wait for her command that will end my timeless bliss.
Stop doing it. It's time for lunch.
I sigh, roll over, and trudge in.
Hardly sounds like abuse, right? You know, autistic joy is hard to explain, like to pretty much any non-autistic person.
Imagine that last delicious dream you're enjoying as you drowse in a warm, snuggly bed on a lazy Saturday morning when you don't have to get up.
Then, out of nowhere, someone screams,
"Get up!"
You're so startled for a second. You don't know where you are, what you're doing, the time of day, the season.
Now, imagine that every damn day, many, many, many times a day. Torture, right? Being startled out of the flow. It's like that, whether you're a kid or an adult. You dig?
That's as close as I can come to explaining autistic joy. That same joy you see on the face of an autistic kid dancing endlessly, unashamed, in a sprinkler, in the sun, lost to the world, but found in himself. If I had to guess, this is precisely what being in the moment, in the now, mean. I think that's where I spent most of my time as a kid.
When I wasn't reacting to family, schoolmates, parents, teachers, the few humans I let into my life back then.
Gradually, as I aged, these blissful moments became fewer and fewer, further and further and further apart. Nearly gone.
First, I was forced into a school system that I was clearly not wired for. Rigid, lockstep, regimented, regulated, scheduled, boring, with no free time to be me, autistic me.
Later, of course, it got much worse. Jobs, relationships, finances. Life in modern adult America. I had a stress-induced stroke at 30.
Then, nearly three decades in the therapeutic system, I worked with maybe a dozen pros. They couldn't sort out what was mental disability, what was trauma, what was bad attitude. Neither can I.
All I know is, as a kid, I was either happy exploring, or I was being forced to don my personality. To me, arbitrary vocabulary, facial expressions, body language, polite responses, and social lies that most humans demand.
Just so it's easier for them to predict how I'll behave so they can feel comfortable around me.
Most humans project a personality automatically. But for me, it was like being dragged out of my comfy pajamas and forced into the most cumbersome, restrictive, awkward, embarrassing winter coat, earmuffs, muffler, heavy snow boots, and mittens your mother ever stuffed you into to get on that kindergarten bus.
So I got two choices, dancing in joy or shackled in chains. You choose. And I'm not the only autistic who felt that way about childhood, especially school.
From age two on, I clearly remember long waking periods without any verbal thought, just perceiving in awe and wonder everything.
Until I had to interact with humans, any humans, even those I was required to love. But when the personality switched on, the joy collapsed.
Not into pain. Collapsing into an all-absorbing effort, intellectualizing every word, gesture, tone of voice of my own, and then interpreting all those of each and every human I was with. And then carefully weighing precisely the right word, tone of voice, facial expression, and body attitude to project.
All at the same time, to avoid being in trouble.
Plus, even at a young age, I had a growing sense of the need to protect others from me every single second because I was different, arrogant, hurt people without understanding.
Because I was bad.
So when this autist entered school, I brought two things, the capacity for bliss and the fear of shame. Over the years, the flow, the bliss got lost.
The shame hung around like a fart in a closed classroom.
I've written about how I work to regain autistic joy. Much of it, common sense, rest, nutrition, reducing social contact and sensory stimulation, relaxation techniques, But the thing that's important to this story is how I've rewired my thinking on my special interests, a medical term that stinks of sickness. Some autists are trying different language like specializations. They're not a forbidden pleasure, a shameful quirk, something I waste time on when there's nothing more important to do. They are my guiding passions, my gateways to bliss, transcendence, oneness, my reason for being, my job.
One last quick pause. This is just a taste of the roller coaster many of us autistics ride. Part two, we hit middle and high school, train wreck. If you're digging this, hit subscribe to hear all four parts. Want to contribute more? Monthly support is a click away. Hang on now. Here comes the big finish to part one.
That spring day on the lawn in Johnson City, I saw Infinity in a burn-off ant leg. And eventually, I went for it. But not in school.
In part two, we peek at what the infinite power of autistic joy could accomplish if we let it out to play in the classroom.
That's a tie pack. Ooh.